I will remind you guys, the Right Side Way monologue brought to you every single day by attorney Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, who, by the way, I know personally, great guy. Stan McDonald is a longtime member of the bar in North Alabama, and he's also an OG ruffian, if you know what I mean. I'll tell you more about Stan McDonald later, but he is the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. All right, so I did a monologue back in December, I believe, of last year. And in it, I asked the question, what did you do with the kids? And it's a question that continues to need to be asked. And it must be asked. Because the left has not given up on trying to get our kids. And we have to be vigilant and determined in our defense of them. I don't want to have future generations look back on us and get worried looks on their faces and say, yes, but what did you do with the kids? And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I still find myself amazed at the brazenness of the left. There was a time when standards meant something, and there were lines that were not crossed. And if they were crossed, they were rightfully condemned. And perpetrators were shunned and therefore tried to keep their actions hidden and secret. Not so anymore. The left will say and do anything publicly, openly, brazenly. And they could care less what you think because the idea has somehow taken root that indefensible behavior is okay as long as you couch it as following your own truth. Somehow that's become okay. Well, let's be honest. It's still jackassery. And when it involves kids, well, then the jackassery becomes an example of the left trying to defend the indefensible. This week, the world saw some incredible displays of first world jackassery at the Supreme Court of the United States and in the State House for the Alabama legislature. In both instances, there were arguments presented from the left that sought to defend the indefensible about kids. Arguments that were argued with straight faces and somber tones as if they were carrying some great import, the gravity of which required some august rationalizations designed to overthrow thousands of years of acceptable behavior, all in favor of new fads of modern culture. Arguments that basically told the world how desperate the left is to sexualize young children. In the Supreme Court of the United States, the justices heard arguments related to a lower court case that allowed a Maryland school board to deny parents the right to opt out their kids from reading assignments in preschool classes, preschool, that were filled with alternative lifestyle dogma. There were so many verbal exchanges before the Supreme Court that raised eyebrows while the justices asked questions. But one in particular caught my attention when Justice Gorsuch asked the lawyer for the school board about one of the many LGBTQ lifestyle books that the school board insisted that all children had to participate in. Now, to be clear, there was nothing accidental about these books. They didn't get slipped into the shelves or accidentally donated to the school without somebody realizing. No. They were part of a collection that the school board approved called the, quote, Gender and Sexuality Curriculum for Children's Ages 3 to 10 Years Old. One of the books tasks 3- and 4-year-olds with searching out images from a word list that includes words like intersex flag and drag queen and underwear and leather, all in the name of a celebrated LGBTQ activist and sex worker. Another book advocates a child knows best approach to gender transitions, telling students that the decision to transition does not have to make sense to others. Teachers are instructed to say that doctors only guess when identifying a newborn's sex anyway. Wow. Well, the lawyer for the school board was asked directly by Justice Gorsuch about the leather reference. Leather. He tried to play it off like, well, it just meant a leather jacket. That's all, just a leather jacket. To which Gorsuch said, on a drag queen and a sex worker? But the lawyer continued by insisting that none of the information was designed to be coercive. It wasn't designed to indoctrinate. The kids might hear about this kind of stuff in the hallways from their peers anyway. Really? 3-year-olds? Because that's what the judge said then. He said, 3-year-olds? It wasn't designed to indoctrinate. They said, sure, yeah, and the sun is not really hot and the sky is not really blue. But one of the most respected and well-preserved bastions of the rule of law in the entire world, the Supreme Court of the United States, a place where allegedly legal jurisprudence is supposed to meet with common sense and render precedents that literally affect hundreds of millions of people, and then have tangential effects on billions of others around the world, the Supreme Court heard these oral arguments that young children should be taught that they can be born into the wrong bodies, and that alternative lifestyles are really appealing because, you know, rainbows and love and leather. Sure. But listen, it's the other part of this, too, that bothers me. I told you there were two instances of what I call the jackassery of the defense of the indefensible. It's not just somewhere out there, right? It's not just some northern state school board arguing before the Supreme Court in our nation's capital. No, we have the same cringeworthy jackassery right here at home. Yesterday in the Alabama State House of Representatives, a bill came before a House committee that has taken several years of legislative action to finally get postured for possible final vote. The bill was discussed on this show several times, including this week when I had a guest named Malia Stevens on to talk about it. Senate Bill 186 in the Alabama legislature. It's an easy bill. It's a layup. It's low-hanging fruit. All it is a requirement that porn filters that already exist on every smartphone made today be turned on at the point of sale if the phone is for a minor. If the phone is for a minor. It costs nothing. It invades no privacy. And parents who, you know, really want their kids to see porn and can risk jail time to do it can turn the filter off if they want to. The filter is already there, y'all. But the porn industry desperately wants it to remain turned off. Why? Because they're predators, that's why. And yesterday in committee, as the bill was being considered, Democrats questioned it and complained. One said it might block kids from being able to research the Holocaust or slavery. This might be government overreach, said another Democrat for probably the first time in her entire life. I mean, to his credit, the bill sponsor kept his cool. He said that if they were actually concerned about government overreach, then perhaps we should have no age requirements at all for drinking, smoking, or anything else. Well, the bill finally came out of committee with those two Democrats taking what I call the cowardly road of abstaining. Basically, they were really strong against it, but they couldn't be on the record voting against it. Look, it sometimes feels like we have slipped off into some kind of post-apocalyptic mayhem. I've said before that in my opinion, there are some things for which a nation will be judged. A whole nation will be judged. Some things that future generations will look back on and literally judge their ancestors on how they responded. That's us. I believe that how we as a modern generation right now, how we act right now to care for or protect our kids, that is something that future generations will judge us for. Children in America too often face the social contagion of constant pressure to follow their own truth and to get medical interventions, even surgeries, that wind up more often than not leaving them with a lifetime of counseling and medication. We have a society right now that will tell a child that they need to understand, accept, and even participate in adult versions of sexuality, even to the extent of allowing children who cannot drive or legally sign a contract or marry or join the military or make a decision about anything that they can make their own decisions, though, about what their biology says they are or are not. We have reached some kind of zenith of social schizophrenia. On the one hand, telling a child we will affirm them, while on the other hand, demanding they be medically altered because they were made wrong. We claim to value children as important and dear to us, and yet we callously allow big tech and big porn to hire lobbyists to whisper in our legislators' ears that it's somehow okay to abstain from a vote that does nothing except just place a fence between our kids and the most vile pornography that can warp their adult minds, even more so damage young minds. Look, we see it, we hear it, and too often in this generation, we just promptly wash our hands of it and write it off and pretend it didn't happen. But we have to rein this in. Because these kids we're talking about, they're going to be adults soon enough if they make it that far. And how will they remember their childhood? You see, kids are a gift from God. I'm thankful on this Thankful Thursday. I am thankful for kids. They are a gift from God, and we're called to be stewards of those gifts. That's why I'm concerned. I'm concerned that our nation is on the one hand doing all we can for kids. On the other hand, we're destroying them at a rate we've never seen before. Gone are the days where we can just turn a blind eye, my friends. Gone are the days where we can just shrug our shoulders and say, well, it's not my kid, so it's not my fight. Progressive liberals want our kids. They do. And if it's not your kid today, it'll be your grandchild tomorrow. It'll be that sweet neighbor kid who plays in the yard. It'll be the little minions that run around the hallways of your church or play on the playground down there on the corner, or the ones who get too loud in the grocery store. This, my friends, is a fight for all of us. It doesn't matter whether it's your child or any child at this point. As a nation, as a culture, we're going to be held accountable one day. Future generations will look back on this time, and what will they say about us? It is not enough to say that we were good stewards with our possessions, or our skills and talents, or our natural resources, or our time. One of the greatest forms of stewardship that any culture can be measured against is the simple question, what did you do with the children?